Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now, from the WMAL WinBet Studios, O'Connor and Company. 105.9
FM, WMAL. Hey, Merry Christmas to everyone. We can say that now, right? Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas on this 29th day of November, but it's after Thanksgiving. So, Merry Christmas as we head into the December month. Thanks for starting your week with us here on O'Connor and Company. Later on this week, by the way, we've got our Fisher House Radiothon. That's the real signal that the Christmas season is upon us. And by the way, happy Hanukkah to all of our Jewish friends who lit the first candle last night. We love us the Maccabees. Can't get enough of the Maccabees, right, Amber?
Mm-hmm.
See, we're Catholic. We know who the Maccabees are. I had to explain. Coming up later this morning at 7:05, Joe DeGeneva, because the Protestants don't have the Maccabees in their Bible.
Shameful.
It's weird. Well, I wouldn't say that. I'm not going to shame them.
I'm just kidding.
No, you're right. At 7:35, Dr. Marty McCary will join us. 8:05, Newt Gingrich, and at 8:45, Julie Donaldson from the Washington football team. Big Monday Night Football game tonight with the Washington football team. We're going to talk to Newt Gingrich at 8:05 about the latest in politics in Washington, D.C. And here's the latest coming up right now. Has to do with this. We can quiet them now. Yeah, has to do with the idea, the drama between Pete Buttigieg and Kamala Harris. Right. It occurred to me, Amber. I mean, you've been following politics for, I'm guessing, pretty much your whole life, right?
Yeah, more or less.
Growing up here, you can't do what you're doing at the level that you do at your age without sort of being a political junkie when you were what, 10?
Oh yeah,
probably right.
My first real experience in politics was arguing with my eighth grade government teacher.
There you go.
So,
and you were a Rush baby. You were in the back seat listening to WMAL out there in Frederick.
Of course. I used to watch Glenn Beck every night
sure.
on Fox.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That tells me everything I need. So I care. And I've been really pursuing politics since the Reagan administration. I lived in Detroit when the Republican National Convention of 1980 was there. And there's like, who's this Ronald Reagan guy? So that was sort of my political coming of age, too. And so our entire lives, do you remember any president 1 year into their first term where the entire conversation is who's going to be the next nominee, who's going to be, because they're just, that's all they're talking about right now is who are the Democrats going to nominate in 2024. And it's pretty insulting to Joe Biden that it's not even a real consideration that he will be the candidate.
Yeah, it's pretty unheard of. And yes, especially considering Biden himself hasn't ruled out a second run.
In fact, I think Jen Psaki last week reiterated, it's like, no, he has every intention of running in 24. And everyone's like, yeah, okay. Anyway, seriously, who are we going to nominate?
Well, he also said, didn't he say during the campaign or shortly after his election that he wasn't sure about a second term? Or he kind of threw water on the idea. So it's kind of his own fault. But right. It is interesting, though, that these new stories sort of pushing the backbencher started after his little medical exam last week, too.
Yeah. Well, and also after the various disastrous economic reports coming in, his less than stellar trip overseas to Europe. A lot of missteps there, too. Kamala Harris continues to stumble. And so they're trying to prop her up. And Team Kamala has been very angry that Pete Buttigieg is getting so much media and so much attention. Remember after they signed the infrastructure bill that it suddenly became, you know, Mayor Pete, Secretary Pete is the most powerful transportation secretary in American history. And he's got when was the last time you saw a Secretary of Transportation get this kind of media coverage?
Yeah, I mean, I can't even remember one.
Who was Secretary of Transportation under Trump? I'm having trouble remembering now.
Was that Elaine?
Actually. Oh, yes, Chao? Of course, Elaine Chao. That's right, Elaine Chao McConnell. Yeah. So, well, that. So now here's the latest. This is the best. So it's like Team Pete, Team Kamala, and all the fighting and all the backbiting. And now they've come up with the latest over the weekend, which is, oh, the dream ticket is Kamala and Pete. Put them both together on the same ticket.
Oh.
I mean, I'm terrified for our country, but I'm really happy as a Republican because I think that that's a pretty well. And that's the question. 888-630-9625. Assuming you want the Republicans to win in 24, regardless of who the nominee might be, that's a separate conversation. But who's your dream ticket in 24 for the Republican victory? Right? It's like I could understand a lot of people saying, oh, no, we want Biden to stay right there. We want Biden to run for another election, and we want to run against Joe Biden. I get that. But running against Pete Buttigieg would be a dream. Running against Kamala Harris would be a dream. Running against Elizabeth Warren would be fantastic. Running against Gretchen Whitmer would be terrific. What about you? 888-630-9625. From a Republican perspective, who would you like the Democrats to nominate in 24? You want to stick with Joe, or would you love this dream ticket of Kamala and Pete? And I don't know, I haven't read too deep into the articles to see if anyone is actually sort of laying down the marker as to who would be at the top of the ticket or not. Are they just assuming Kamala would be the presidential nominee and Pete would be the vice presidential nominee?
I think so, just because of the fact that she's currently VP, and that's usually how, you know, the pecking order goes. Mm. But people forget Kamala was so unpopular during the Democratic primary that she dropped out of the race before people were even allowed to vote.
Right. Before the Iowa caucus, she and Beto basically both dropped out. That's how great they were. And they were both the biggest media stars, right? Mm-hmm. Kamala and Beto were the media creations. They got the covers of all the magazines. They got all the glowing profiles, and they couldn't even make it to the Iowa caucuses. That tells you quite a bit.
Yeah, it does. I mean, Kamala was actually running quite well before she was kneecapped by Tulsi Gabbard in one of those early debates over her support of jailing parents because their kids didn't get to school on time.
Yes.
while running as a progressive advocate of criminal justice reform.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's that easy to take out the media darling, then it doesn't bode well for a second run when she now has the baggage of the Biden administration dragging her down.
Ben is in Culpeper. Ben, from a Republican perspective, who would you like the Democrats to nominate in 24? Or would you like them to just stick with Joe?
Well, I remember last year there was some talk of the great stalwart leader Andrew Cuomo replacing Biden on the ticket.
Oh,
so
yes.
I would really love for him to get a shot at running for president.
You know what? We have been tough on Andrew Cuomo. Maybe we need to give him a second chance.
He needs to be rehabilitated.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the nation would embrace Andrew Cuomo, Ben. It's a great point.
Yeah, and also, let's keep Kamala Harris as the VP. And if she is, I think it's great because it proves that she's not ready to be president. I think everyone would laugh, I hope.
Ben, I hear you, and thank you. It's a great suggestion to have Andrew Cuomo come in here. I assure you that if it's anyone other than Joe Biden, it's got to be Kamala Harris, or she will burn the place down.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's just no...
Well, she's like Hillary 2.0.
Yes.
There's a sense of entitlement that she has to higher office. And she treated her presidential run that way, and then the ensuing VP run.
Yes.
There's no doubt that she is already telling people that she is next in line.
Oh, yeah. Big time. And that's why they were angry at Pete. And I'm thinking it's the Kamala people who are floating this Kamala Pete ticket story.
Right, because they're trying to push him to the wayside.
That's right. It's a way to sort of like talk about Pete without talking about Pete, or talking about Pete, but making sure that he stays in his place, which is behind Kamala. Well, what do you think? The intrigue is getting deeper and deeper in D.C., and Joe Biden's just sitting there looking around without his mask on, coughing into his hand, saying, what about me? I'm president, aren't I? Jill, am I still president? But the conversation is about who runs in 24. Who would you like to see from a Republican perspective? Who would you like to see run for the Democrats? 888-630-WMAL at 615. Now WMAL traffic and weather every 10 minutes. First on the fives, Lisa Baden's in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
You know, just to kind of let you guys in on a little secret here, I was, you know, told about 2 to 3 weeks ago, maybe this pertains to the Supreme Court, maybe this pertains to, you know, changing the ticket before you get into 2024. You know, FDR, seemingly he burned through a vice president almost every time he was up for office. But I got an email from somebody who really knows this place very well, who said, Chad, start to familiarize yourself with the confirmation process, just not in the Senate, but the House, for a vice president.
That, of course, you remember, was Chad Pergram on Brett Baer's podcast saying, I got sources saying that they might bounce Kamala from the ticket now and go through the whole replacement process. And of course, that extended speculation is that she would be nominated for the Supreme Court. That's the only way to get her out, get rid of her, is to give her the lifetime appointment on the Supreme Court. So this is talk has been going on for a couple of weeks now. Pete Buttigieg getting an extraordinary amount of media coverage, extraordinary amount of press. Seems like that's all he does is television interviews. And the latest now is they're floating the Harris-Buttigieg ticket in 24. Meanwhile, Joe Biden, it's not even considered right now that he will run in 24. And last we heard, he's still officially planning on running.
Yeah, as far as we know. I think it's funny that they're going all in on Kamala, considering her approval rating is, I think, even worse than Joe Biden's.
Yeah.
She's at like 38% approval. I mean, it's atrocious.
It's really bad. It's really bad for her right now and not getting any better. The more they put her out there, the worse it is. I mean, honestly, it's so. I mean, from a Republican perspective, I love the idea of the Harris-Buttigieg ticket. By the way, here's the most instructive thing about all of the coverage about this speculation is that all the talk is, well, because you'll have an African-American woman and you'll have a gay man and you have, and nobody's talking about, you know, they're the best people for the job. They're the kind of leaders that we need right now because of their experience, because of their qualifications. No. The entirety of the speculation is what lane do they fill based on identity politics?
Yeah, and isn't that classic Democrats to avoid actually talking about policy or the attractiveness of a candidate and instead talking about their immutable characteristics?
Yes.
That is so typical.
Luke in Warrington. Luke, from a Republican perspective, who would you like the Democrats to go with?
Well, I'm old enough to remember when Michael Avenatti was the Democratic frontrunner for president.
Yes.
I would love to see a return for him. I'm sure there's many justifiable reasons.
Luke, Avenatti Cuomo sounds like the winning ticket.
Amazing.
Right there, right?
Avenatti can get Cuomo out of
jail.
I can't wait
for my dead grandmother, poor believer.
All right, Luke. That would be great. So we got to start floating that. These are all things. We are long tentacles in the media world here, Amber. So
I actually would love to see a Hillary Clinton comeback.
You know what? She really didn't get a fair shot.
Exactly.
What,
she
with
was
all the
entitled
Russian collusion.
To that.
That's right.
Presidency, damn it, and God. She should have another turn.
Ian in Leesburg. Ian, who would you like from a Republican perspective? Who would you like for the Dems?
Well, if I was a Republican strategist, I tell you who I'd be the most afraid of would be Joe Manchin.
Oh, there's no way they could nominate.
Sense.
They would never. The Democrats, it's impossible for them to nominate.
Listen,
Joe Manchin.
Larry, if he kills this bill, I'd vote for him.
Wow. All right, let's not get too crazy there. Although we could do worse. All right, Ian, thank you for that. And we are doing worse right now. How about Philip in Manassas? Okay, Philip, here on WMAL.
Yeah, I was speaking to what I would like to see the Republicans put forward against the Democrats in 24.
Okay.
And stay with me on this one. Pompeo at the top, DeSantis at the VP, and then insert Donald J. Trump as the Speaker of the House.
Oh, that's pretty delicious, actually. There was a lot of speculation that he would be Speaker after the Republicans win the majority, and then they impeach Biden and Kamala together, and he becomes President. That's how.
Yeah, I heard that as well, but I just think that's a stellar lineup because Donald Trump doing the legislation, we got Pompeo fixing all the problems overseas that have been created, and then you've got DeSantis, who's the nuts and bolts guy to get it done.
All right, Philip, I like that too. Listen, we're gonna have plenty of time to speculate on what the Republicans do. I love the Democrat speculation right now, but I do. You point out a good issue here. Republicans, I think, have a much deeper bench right now of qualified and legitimate contenders for president than the Democrats do. That's why they had to go to Joe Biden in the first place, because they didn't have an alternative. All right, 888-630-WMAL. Coming up later this morning, we're going to talk to Newt Gingrich. He's no stranger to the parlor game of D.C. politics and speculating about these things, but we're throwing our own prognostications in there about what the Democrats might do in 24. The latest rumor is Harris Buttigieg is the winning ticket. We're asking you, from a Republican perspective, what would you like to see them do? How about Matt in Leesburg? Matt, you're on WMAO.
Hey, good morning, Larry. Good morning, Amber.
Hey.
Yeah, as a Republican, I think two-faced Anthony Fauci could run for both offices. he is so full of himself that I think he believes he could handle it.
But, Matt, he's beloved. Everyone in America loves Tony Fauci. Just ask him.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. He's so full of himself that he could run both offices.
All right, Matt.
One more thing, Larry.
Real fast.
I saw this yesterday. The Omicron, you mix those letters around, it spells moronic.
We might have to steal that one. That's brilliant. All right, what do you think, Fauci for president?
Well, he might have something to say about that.
I don't know why he would take the downgrade. I mean,
he
makes more money now.
If you're going to run for president, please get 4 boosters.
It's 6:28.
Now, from the WMAL WinBet Studios, O'Connor and Company.
6:37 this last Monday of November. Thanks for starting your week and your holiday month of December with us on O'Connor and Company. Coming up at 7:05, Joe DiGenova will join us for our weekly visit. 7:35 from Johns Hopkins University, our friend Dr. Marty McCary on this latest variant coming out of South Africa. 8:05 brings us Newt Gingrich. And then at 8:45, Julie Donaldson of the Washington football team. Big Monday Night Football game you'll hear right here on WMAL. I'm Larry O'Connor alongside Amber Athey. And remember this, Amber?
Banning all travel from Europe or any other part of the world may slow it, but as we've seen, it will not stop it. And travel restrictions based on favoritism and politics rather than risk will be counterproductive. This is going to require a national response.
There you go. That was back when Joe Biden was running for president, March of 2020. He was attacking President Trump's travel ban from certain countries that had breakouts of the coronavirus, including China, of course, at that time. He went further to say that it was we need to lead the way with science, not Donald Trump's record of hysteria, xenophobia and fear mongering. This is back when Joe Biden said he was just going to shut this thing down. He was going to end this virus. And here we are now with a year's worth of vaccines at his disposal, and it's just as widespread as it has been, including this latest variant coming out of South Africa. So, of course, now we have the Joe Biden travel ban. Not xenophobic, though, apparently.
Yeah, interesting. You know, more people have died of coronavirus under Joe Biden than ever did under Donald Trump, and Trump did not have vaccines.
Right, but that's still Trump's fault somehow.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. On Friday, Anthony Fauci talked about this new variant, and surprise, surprise, everyone needs to panic.
There is a new variant that is now in South Africa in the Gauteng province that has some mutations that are raising some concern, particularly with regard to possibly transmissibility increase and possibly evasion of immune response.
Possibly. I remember he said the Delta variant is possibly more deadly than this. He also said possibly the Delta variant is going to bypass immunities from the natural immunity or from the vaccines. He said possibly it was going to affect kids more. They're saying it's all the same stuff that they said about the Delta variant. And this is it reaches the point of boy who cried wolf status, doesn't it? As they continue to say this, we got to be worried. We got to shut things down because possibly. And then when possibly doesn't happen, we stop paying attention.
Yeah. And there's also the facet of it that this is a virus that we are going to have to learn how to live with. And every new variant reminds us that this isn't something that we can just, you know, policy our way out of. Mm-hmm. We can't just lock down our way out of this. And yet every time that a new variant emerges, we are preached by health officials with the same strategy every single time, which is a major disruption of our lives and people's ability to go to work and have social lives.
Yeah.
And it's inevitable that this is going to be something that is around foreseeable future.
And the most you can do to protect yourself and to mitigate whatever symptoms you might get should you get this should be advised. But you don't hear Fauci talk about natural immunity. You don't hear Fauci talk about therapeutics. You know, he doesn't talk about any of that anymore. Meanwhile, it is reasonable and understandable, and we've been doing this for decades, when a country on this planet is open and transparent and acknowledges that they have a breakout of a virus that could be a problem, we put travel restrictions in and out of that country. That, and by the way, according to all observers here, South Africa has been fantastic here. They've been the anti-China. The second this thing started to break, the first reports of this variant, there were only like four or five cases. But South Africa was like, whoa, 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 we got something here. Everybody needs to see it. If only China had done that back in, it appears, November or October of 2020 when they first had it. So, yeah, South Africa's jumped up. They said, hey, we got a problem. And countries like the U.S., are putting instituting travel bans. That's reasonable. That's understandable. Good on the Biden administration. The problem is they claimed when Trump did it that it was racist, xenophobia, and fear-mongering.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's always this type of hypocrisy. And I think that Trump's travel ban was perhaps even more justified for the reasons you just mentioned, which is that China was so non-transparent about the origins of the virus and how many people had it and how far it could have possibly spread. And when it was even first occurring, when they found the first cases, they claimed that, you know, it wasn't really present there until December or January, which we later found out not to be true. So In that way, the travel ban was, I think, even more justified.
Meanwhile, the South African doctor, Dr. Angelique Kotze, private practitioner, chair of the South African Medical Association, she's the one who raised the international red flags about this new variant. That is where they're calling it the Omicron. I'd like to call it the she variant because it ticks everybody off. Here's what she had to say last night, this morning. I think it's this morning, our last night, about this variant. Listen very carefully because it's critically important.
Looking at the mildness of the symptoms that we are seeing, currently there's no reason for panicking as we don't see severely ill patients. I also checked with the hospital, some of the hospitals in my area. And one of the biggest hospitals, they only have one patient currently that's COVID positive on a ventilator, and they don't even know whether it's COVID, it's Delta or whether it is Omicron related. We acknowledge that it might change going forward. But the hype that's been created currently out there in the media and worldwide doesn't correlate with the clinical picture.
The hype that's been created out there in the media and worldwide doesn't correlate with the clinical picture.
Well, how long until she's called a conspiracy theorist?
About 10 seconds, I'd say. A little bit more on this new variant, the Omicron she variant, and various moves that our government and other world governments are making to try to shut it down and contain it to South Africa in a moment. It's 6:43 on WMAL.
Looking at the mildness of the symptoms that we are seeing, currently there's no reason for panicking as we don't see severely ill patients.
That is the doctor in South Africa who runs one of their national health agencies that alerted the world to this new variant here that they're calling Omicron, because they can't call it new because new is confused with new. And you can't call it she, which would be the next letter in the Greek alphabet, because the president of communist China is named she, and too many people would be mean to him about the fact that he has invited this plague on the world. So now we're calling it the Omicron, apparently. And she says that there's mild symptoms. I mean, yes, we're seeing it, and yes, it's spreading fast, but thankfully the symptoms are mild. And again, we'll talk to Dr. Marty McCarry. Don't take any medical advice from us, or you will end up dead. But it seems to me that if it's inevitable that everybody's going to get this dang thing, and you're better protected if you're vaccinated, according to the doctors and the science, if you're going to catch it, why not catch one that has mild symptoms? And then you build up your natural immunity even more.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me. Apparently, the symptoms for...
I'm going to Johannesburg, baby.
Apparently, the symptoms for the Omicron variant are really just 2 to 3 days of heavy fatigue and similar symptoms to what you would have with mild flu or cold, which is the body aches and the fever and a headache. So they haven't even really seen massive hospitalization numbers for this. And I think the most important point she makes is that the hype from the media is not justified by the seriousness of this variant.
Right. What we're seeing right now, and that's why, and again, people are immediately suspicious. Of course, I'm just joking. I don't suggest anybody go out and catch this virus to build up your natural immunity. I shouldn't even joke about things like that. But we will hear from Dr. Marty McCarry. I'll ask him, though. I mean, again, if natural, and he's a big proponent of natural immunity, the natural immunity is probably the best kind of immunity to have over the vaccine. So, you know, we'll ask him about this version of the virus that appears to have more mild symptoms. Marty McCary at 7:35. Meanwhile, Anthony Fauci did a sit down with Face the Nation yesterday. And boy, for a guy who tries to stay out of politics, he sure got political. He was asked by the interviewer in this case about the fact that Senator Ted Cruz and many other senators believe that he perjured himself, believe that he's hidden evidence of the Wuhan lab leak. He continues to deny even the possibility that this could have leaked out of the lab or anything like it could have leaked out of the lab. And some people have suggested that he should be prosecuted for lying under oath to a Senate committee. Here was his response.
Senator Cruz told the attorney general you should be prosecuted.
Yeah. I'd have to laugh at that. I should be prosecuted. What happened on January 6th, Senator?
Wow.
Okay.
That's like partisan Democrat talk. That's not, I'm just a bureaucrat trying to save people's lives with my health policies kind of talk.
He should run for office with that kind of statement.
What about January 6th, Senator, suggesting that, you know, Ted Cruz is in some way worthy of a criminal investigation over whatever happened on January 6th? Meanwhile, he also said this.
Anybody who's looking at this carefully realizes that there's a distinct anti-science flavor to this.
By the way, looking at this carefully, he's talking about elected officials who are questioning him and challenging him on his policies, which is, you know, their job, right? So anybody who is questioning him and challenging him on his policies, there is an anti-science flavor to it, he says.
So if they get up and criticize science, nobody's going to know what they're talking about. But if they get up and really aim their bullets at Tony Fauci, well, people could recognize there's a person there. So it's easy to criticize, but they're really criticizing science. Because I represent science. That's dangerous.
You know what's dangerous? Somebody saying that they represent science.
Yeah, science is not an individual, the last I checked.
Yeah.
Did you notice how he talked about himself in the third person, too?
Yes, he third-personed himself.
If you're going to attack Tony Fauci,
come on.
Because I represent science.
I represent science.
You know, so science elected him. That's the answer we've always been wondering. So he is we would like to speak now to the United States Senator representing the great state of science.
Well, that would be Mr. Tony Fauci.
See, but in our Constitution, we do have people who represent others, not science. Tony Fauci can say he represents science, but there's no election there where scientists said this is the guy we want. And even if they did, it doesn't matter because that's not a constituency that has representation in our Constitution. Meanwhile, those senators that he's attacking, you know, Ted Cruz doesn't represent science. He represents the people of Texas. Rand Paul represents the people of Kentucky. They're doing their constitutional job and their duty to represent their constituents and the people of their states to make sure that this guy isn't a fraud and isn't a crook and isn't crippling our nation because of his policies. How dare they challenge him in his policies because he represents science? He's a madman, honestly. The kind of power that he's trying to wield without being accountable to anyone.
Because I represent science.
Most scientists, I tell you, they have a certain level of humility about what they do.
Right. I mean, and Fauci has been wrong about so many things throughout the course of this pandemic. And also, I mean, he has a historical record when dealing with the AIDS epidemic as well. That's less than stellar, in my opinion. And yet he has somehow managed to make himself the arbiter of, and he's really turned science into a case of fact and fiction. When it's supposed to be evolving, it's supposed to have theories that you can test, and he instead has made it that everything that comes out of his mouth is science.
Yeah. Last night, Dr. Marty McCary, who will be our guest at 7:35, tweeted out about how therapeutics are completely missing from the conversation right now, especially with regard to the Omicron variant. We will talk to him about that. We will talk to him about the symptoms of this Omicron variant and whether the mild symptoms actually are a good sign, even though this thing spreads very quickly. And we may even ask him about,
because I represent science,
that. That's all coming up later. Meanwhile, once again, 7:35. We've got Dr. Marty McCary to join us. This just in, Washington Post reporting 30 minutes ago. The Omicron coronavirus variant has been detected in Canada, according to that country's health minister. That is the first North American sighting of the
Everybody
variant.
Panic!
Not so much. Coming up, Joe DiGenova. There, the liberals should panic because Joe DiGenova is going to be here next.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.